Learn Love, Episode 3. How can I find the right person to love in my life? The simple answer is, you have to look for them, be ready when you find them, and beware of accepting okay or good in place of finding great. For me, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, was to find the right person to love in my life. I've never screwed up so much at one thing. I've never been as frustrated as with trying to find my now wife. It took, you could argue I started when I was in my teens, say around 16. So it took around 10 years to find my wife. Nothing I've ever done was so punishing and agonizing and hurtful and just plain more awful at any given time than it was ever good. That is, until I finally found my wife. Then, it was amazing after that. I wish when I was younger I had understood that it might take 10 years to really do it right, and that I only had to do it right once. How many times you fail doesn't matter at all. It only matters how many times you do it right, and you want to minimize those failures. To break down the steps a little further, let's talk about the three parts to finding the right person to love in your life. The first step is just to look. My advice is to look while you're single, because it's a lot more honest than looking while you're in a relationship. You have to look, and I don't mean to just sign up for a dating site or to occasionally talk to a girl your friend introduced you to, or a guy, whatever. I'm putting this in my own terms, but understand you can put it in whatever terms apply to you. It applies across the board. In order to look, you have to always have your eyes open everywhere you are all the time. This means at the grocery store, at work, during your hobbies, and at the times when you're hanging out with your friends. You should also be doing intentional dating sites in order to just increase the amount of opportunities you have to look. You should always be looking. You never know exactly when the right person might come passing you by. If you're not looking right then, how would you feel about missing that right person coming by? When you're looking, you want to always be looking. The idea is you want to meet as many people as possible. You don't want to just have a few long-term relationships because you're not really getting good. You're not meeting enough people. And the name of the game is to simply meet a lot of people until you find one that's perfect. And by meet a lot of people, I don't mean like shack up or bang a lot of people or have a lot of relationships. I mean just get to know and talk to someone for 30 minutes, an hour, a few hours. As if you've read any of Malcolm Gladwell's books, Blink, I Like is a very good analogy for this. You want to get very simple snapshots of someone. There's so many things, and again, I don't mean dirty snapshots. I mean just a quick blink, you know, a quick look at who they are as a person. That first impression, and I'm talking especially in person for this. In person is critical. So if you're using a dating site, the object is to just get a quick lunch kind of meeting. If you are playing games online, like playing online games or whatever else you can do online, like social networking, you've got to get an in-person interaction out of it. Because your brain and your body can tell you so much in such a short period of time just by seeing someone in person that you can't get online through your Facebook pages or your video game conversations if you're, you know, gaming with a person you might be interested in or from a dating website. That quick in-person meeting can tell you so much that you want to know immediately that you use the least amount of time as possible. Now, I'm explaining something that's very emotional, and I'm explaining it in rational terms so that you can take action on it. So this means you want as many quick in-person meetings. You want to take as many thin slices of getting to know someone as possible in the shortest period of time. That means if you can meet one or two new people you might be interested in being the love of your life, if you could meet one or two of them every day, the odds of you finding the right one faster drastically increase. I mean, they just rocket through the roof. When you have greater odds of being successful, when you're consistently putting yourself in a position to be successful, you're going to eventually be successful. A lot of finding the right person to love is simply about positioning. And I don't mean like positioning on top of them or anything. I mean putting yourself in the right position to meet them. And the key is you just have to meet them. What's difficult about looking is that you get snagged up on people that are good or that are okay or even that are bad. They might have given you a great first impression. But the problem is you get caught up with these people that are holding you back, that are preventing you from finding a great person. If you and them aren't that great together, then you are hurting both of you by being together. If you meet each other and you're not that impressed, then it's hurting both of you to be together. And you just want to make it clear to them then that that's not going to work and you want to move on. This is really difficult because most of us aren't wired to be single forever. Being lonely is one of the worst feelings I've had in my whole life. It's really easy to just look at someone and say, well, I think they might work. But that's not what you want to be happy for the rest of your life. You want someone that's just amazing, that you love, and you say, I don't want to be with anyone else out there. I don't care who else comes along. That's what you want to look for. Imagine being with someone that's okay or even good, and then seeing someone great come along that you could have been with and saying, wow, I really screwed up by not being with them. What a lot of people do then is try and just get with them anyway, and you've just created a mess at that point. You want to keep your life simple and clean, and that means you want to always be looking for someone great to come along, and you don't want to have anything holding you back, which means relationships or exes, any baggage. You want to be free and clean so when the right person comes along, you can be ready to be a team member with them. So when you're looking, you want to look and you want to meet as many people until you find that one where your body, mind, and soul all say yes. Wow. Yes. Go for it. And what's important, that's only 50% of the deal. The other person has to be thinking the exact same thing. How you feel doesn't make a damn bit of difference if the other person doesn't feel the same way. Now, more often than not, people will feel the same way about each other if they're being honest and openly communicating. In other words, if you're talking with me, and I'm being honest and open with you, and we should both be on the same page. We should both be telling each other, you know, what we feel and what's important to us. And it should be easy for both of us to figure out and feel the same way about something, whether that's whatever it is, and especially if it's about each other. So as long as you're being honest and openly communicating, and this is why it helps to be looking only when you don't have baggage or other things in the, you know, you can't kick to the curb. You want to be ready, and you have to have mutual interest. If there's no mutual interest, if you think the other person's great and they think you're crap, that's a failure, and that's fine. Like I said, I've never had something that was so hard I've done in my whole life, but it's worth it to try and do it right. Most of the pain and punishment I brought on myself. I kept banging at a door that wasn't going to come down. I ignored how the other person felt and just tried to focus on how I felt. I let the other person, how they felt, influence me too much, even when I knew it wasn't right for me. I have a great example of when looking goes wrong, and what the importance of not letting someone that's okay or good be who you settle for. Because each of us has great inside of us. You have great inside of you. There is a person that will be with you, and you will be great with them. The question is, are you willing to take the pain and punishment until you find them, and in return for it, get just an amazing happiness and a wonderful life that you wouldn't have had, or you wouldn't even know or understand about otherwise? If you're willing to go for it, there is a great person out for you, and here's what you shouldn't do. When I moved home with my parents after college and being a police officer, I was going back to graduate school in Tampa. So I was looking online. I figured, hey, if I do this right, I can literally have a girl lined up for me when I get to Tampa. And I was desperately afraid of being lonely, because when I had been a police officer, and I hadn't had a relationship in years, and I was so lonely. I was always looking for people, but as we get into step two, which I'll talk about after I finish this story, I wasn't ready to meet the right person. So even though I was looking, I was doing everything I just shared with you. I was meeting a lot of people and getting good snapshot slices of them, and they continued to not be right. So I looked so hard before I moved to Tampa. I mean, I went through hundreds of dating profiles. I was on all the dating websites, the main ones at least. Match.com, where I later met my wife, Plenty of Fish, OkCupid, eHarmony. I mean, I was on them. And I was actively messaging and looking on all of them. And I sent messages and winks to hundreds of different girls and had all kinds of email conversations. And I had all kinds of things that went wrong. There'd be an email conversation I'd be really excited about that would fall apart, and suddenly I wouldn't get an email back. Or the girl I was talking with would send an email and something I'd read in it. Like, one sent an email about how she had dated some gangster ex-boyfriend or something, and I was just so put off. I was just like, no, you know, I don't want to date you. That's awful. You know, that's not the kind of girl that's going to be perfect for me to have been with, you know, or be with in the future. All of this lined up to me. I finally was talking with some girl that she had a lot of energy and enthusiasm for chatting with me, and she seemed to meet my criteria good enough and everything. The problem was, I was so afraid of getting to Tampa and being my old single self that I focused so much on her that we practically were in a relationship before we'd even met before. And then when I did meet her, when I went to Tampa, I met her to give you the small snapshot slice I told you about. But what I screwed up was I sent so many emails and spent so much time talking with her online that I started to think that actually mattered when it came to meeting her. And I thought that actually mattered for having a relationship. And the very first time I saw her, we pulled up and met at a restaurant to eat. And as soon as she got out of her car, my entire feeling, the visceral, you know, the irrational, the part of me that feels, call it my heart, was just wrecked with disappointment. I just, as soon as I looked at her, my body, you know, my heart's first thought was, no, this is not the kind of woman you want to marry and be with and have a family with. This is not it. The problem was I'd rationally invested so much time and energy that I felt forced to continue to finish the date with her. What I should have done exactly then when I felt that is said, look, I'm sorry, I just have the feeling this is not going to work out with us. Like, before we even introduced ourselves. Because my mind could, and my heart could immediately sense completely and exactly, and I could hardly even smile when we went on our first date. Because I already knew it wasn't going to work. And she was so nervous, she no doubt had figured out it wasn't going to work just based off of how I was acting. The problem was, I just couldn't let it go. And you know what that turned into? That turned into a 3-month ex-girlfriend for me. I could have avoided all of that by just doing what I'm telling you to do now. If they're not great, if you know it's not right, and if you don't invest too much time and energy getting to know someone before you meet them in person, you can avoid wasting a huge chunk of your time. I look back now, and I'm thank God that I met my wife literally a month and a half after that ex-relationship ended. And look, I'm not saying it was her fault or my fault, because it was both of our faults. We weren't right for each other. I just wish I could have done my part to not waste either of our time. You know? And that's how relationships are. It's two of you together. It has to be two of you together. What one of you wants or anything about one of you is not what matters. It's how you make a team together. Maybe I could have met my wife 3 months sooner if I hadn't went and gotten in a relationship with a girl that we both knew it wasn't right for us. I could have avoided that by listening to my heart. My heart spoke loudly and clearly immediately, but I could have avoided that. And you can avoid that. When you feel just disappointed with whoever you're out with, or you feel no positive, passionate energy, if you don't feel it, then don't waste your time. Keep looking. And I know it's hard, because I know you don't want to sit there and be single forever. Or I know that even if you like being single, you probably do still want to find someone to love eventually. And you never know how love is going to work out. So if you just keep looking and you meet and are friendly with as many people as possible, the right person will eventually come into your life. If you waste time, if you get in a lot of dragged out relationships that aren't good, then you're not going to have the opportunity to meet as many people, which drastically lowers the chances of you getting a great relationship. I want you to be happy and find the love of your life. I don't want you to have your first divorce or your second divorce or a family down the road with kids and a marriage that's not good for either of you, where you live separately. Or one of you is cheating, or one of you is not emotionally available. I want you to have a wonderful and great life, and having a great relationship is the key. Looking and keeping your eyes open is the first important thing. The second important thing is being ready when you find them. And some of you certainly might say, well, you can't separate looking from being ready. Looking to me is a proactive, constant mindset you're doing that is very closely related to being ready. The problem is, either one by itself is not going to put you in a position to succeed. And I'll give you a great example of that. Again, myself. I looked as much as possible. Out of the 10 or so years I went on dating before I found my wife, I was single about 8 of those years. So I looked and looked and looked and looked. I mean, I've picked a girl up or got a girl's number in damn near every situation you can do it. And the problem was, I wasn't ready to meet the right girl. Or at least I look back now and I say I wasn't ready. I was not the kind of person that was going to be a good teammate. When I was younger, I thought about myself all the time. I often didn't pay attention to how I looked or presented myself. I was just a me person, which is okay when you're younger, especially. That's how a lot of us are when we're younger. You know, I'm 29 now. I mean, I've been a me person for most of my life. When you want to be ready, though, you've got to be ready to be part of a team. It's kind of like, you know, having faith in a religion or faith in anything. You've got to kind of give up some of who you are and embrace some of who you are as being something part of a bigger group with finding the right person to love, that faith has to be able to be placed in the two of you together. My wife and I are one team. We're one unit. We are the two of us combined. That is who we are. That is my first identity as a person, as one member of that two-person team. I was not ready to be that way a lot of the time when I was younger, because even when I would date or get to know other people, all I ever thought about was what I could get out of it, what it was in it for me. My wife was the first girl I met and truly felt that I was in it for what was good for us. It wasn't just about what I wanted or what I would get, but it was about what she wanted and she would get. And that key part of the equation, being ready, that is the key component that you want. And there's some details to being ready. For example, if you want to be with someone attractive or that looks a certain way, even if most people don't think that's attractive. For example, some girls are into guys that, you know, maybe are really hairy or have a lot of tattoos or something. That's what they think's attractive. Everyone's variation of what they think is attractive differs. The bottom line is you want to attract and be ready to look good for the kind of person you want to be with. I think this is really difficult because those often are not matched up well together. I was looking for more of a girl that was like the sorority president, and, you know, by sorority president, that's more of a geekier, nerdy girl with friends, and that's my wife down to a detail. The problem was, the way I presented myself was not as likely to attract that type of girl. Until I was 21 years old, I always wore football jerseys and didn't take very good care of my appearance. I was a handsome young fella, but I didn't present myself very well, and my attitude went along with that. And the problem was, the kind of girls I could attract were often not the kind of girls that really got me excited. And I don't want to be demeaning or derogatory or anything, so I'm just going to say that the kind of girls that were interested in me were not often ones I was interested in. And the ones I was interested in often weren't very interested in me. And finally, I asked a girl that was my friend, and I said, "What am I doing wrong? What can I do better?" It's like, well, wearing those football jerseys all the time, that says you're a certain kind of guy. The problem is, the person you present yourself as, wearing those football jerseys and not, you know, doing anything with your hair and just generally not having a good appearance about you, the kind of girls you want to attract care about those kinds of things. So if you would buy some nicer clothes, you don't. She didn't say I had to spend a fortune or anything. Just get some clothes that looked a little nicer, like some polo shirts and things like that. And wear those clothes, do a little something with my hair occasionally. You know, I already looked good enough that I just needed to kind of polish the rough exterior up a little bit. And more of the girls I would be attracted to would be attracted to me. And as soon as I did that, lo and behold, it worked. And I somehow missed the connection. When I was in ROTC before, I always got the best response out of girls when I was in my Army uniform. And the funny thing is, I never quite put together that appearance was what was important. And then when I wasn't in ROTC, I could continue that appearance as something that worked in my favor. The same thing applies. You can do this with yourself. And if you're a girl, it doesn't mean you have to spend 3 hours a day doing your makeup and your hair or anything. It just means you want to look ideal in the eyes of the person you are attracted to. And if you don't know what that is, you could just ask them. If you see someone that looks like the kind of person you want to be with, ask them. Say, hey, you know, what do you think makes a girl attractive? And you always want to ask more than one person on this kind of thing, because most advice is bad advice. But some advice is good advice. So if you ask people and see what they like, then you could get some good feedback. And some of it might hurt your feelings. You know, maybe you might get comments like you should grow your hair out or stop wearing a favorite outfit of yours. Football jerseys were a favorite outfit of mine. I had wore them and loved them since fifth grade. And so I had to be open to get feedback to say, well, stop wearing the clothes you like to wear and start wearing some clothes that you want to the girls that you'll be that you're attracted to check you out in. That can be hard feedback, but being ready to meet the right person, you've got to do what it takes to be ready to meet the right person. If you just want to do it your way, that's fine, but you're just going to get your way out of life right back at you. If you don't present yourself well, if you don't look attractive to the people you want to attract, then you shouldn't be disappointed or surprised when you don't get a positive response out of it. So when you are looking and you're ready, that gives you the best chance to find the right person to love in your life. And this goes, usually the appearance thing is just the tip of the iceberg. Appearance is one of those simple to see qualities that people put a lot more stock and faith in. And if you can't buy new clothes or you can't, you know, cut your hair or whatever, or grow your hair out, it all starts in your mind. So it could be exercising a little more, losing some weight. Especially if you're fat and you're attracted to thinner people, you are likely to need to exercise some. So you can focus on what you do have the power to do something about. And it starts in your head, having a positive mindset about yourself. When you look in the mirror, now you're probably never going to be exactly perfect in your own eyes. But if you look in the mirror and you see something about yourself that you know you could change and you would be able to be ready to attract the kind of person you want, if you look in the mirror and say, you know, I would feel confident in myself if I did this. And you can only do what you can do. You can't do what you can't do. So if you have some horrible disfigurement or something, well, you probably can't just get that magically fixed. But just look at yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do that would make me feel happy about how I look? And you focus on what you can do. And it doesn't have to be a huge thing. You know, you don't have to say, well, I need to lose 200 pounds or I need to grow hair out that's 10 feet long. It can just be something simple. What can I do today that will feel better about my appearance? Maybe go for a run if you're big, or, you know, just take a shower if you're dirty, or, you know, do your hair or something if it's all a mess. Look at yourself and say, what can I do to feel a little bit better? You don't have to make a grand gesture. You just have to keep doing the little things that'll make you feel a little bit better about yourself. When you collectively put all those things together, then that'll help you be ready to be confident and attractive to the person you want to attract. I have to give women a lot of credit in this department too. While men are very, and you can put whatever reason on you want, men tend to be very fixated on more of the concrete physical details. Women tend to be very good with looking at a guy and picking out, that guy's confident, that guy knows what he's doing, that guy's sneaky and he's a creep. You know, women tend to be very good at picking those things out. I've rarely met guys that were quite as good at, you know, looking at a girl and saying, well, you know, making the same kind of snap judgment that women do. But that's a lot of the little things you do and the attitude you have in your head are what other people find attractive. So if you want someone that's confident and feels good about themselves and is ambitious, you need to be the kind of person they want to be with. So they often will want the same kinds of things. Maybe not everything, but they're likely to want a person that's confident and happy about themselves. You can change. If you're not confident and happy about yourself, you can start working towards being that way. It doesn't take a grand gesture or a huge move. All you have to do is look in the mirror and say, what small thing, what little thing can I do right now or today to make myself feel better about who I am? If you do that every single day, you will soon enough feel how you want to feel, and then you'll be ready to attract the kind of person you want to attract. That's all it takes. You gotta look and be ready. But there's a third key part, and I highlighted it some in the look and be ready section. The third key thing, once you look and you're ready to find the right person, you have to beware of accepting less than both of you deserve. So it's look, be ready, and then discretion. This is the hardest part, because once you've gotten into a mindset of I'm looking, and once you've got yourself prepared to attract the kind of person you want to attract, making the right choices is the most difficult part, and this is where people go the wrong the most. I always looked at good-looking girls when I was younger, and the guys they were with. And I would always ask her, how out of all the guys that want to be with you, do you choose that loser? Like, any guy can look at him and say, he's a loser. It's like, how do you who all the guys want to be with, choose that loser to be with? The choice element of this, once you've got the first two of these down, making the right choice is the hardest part. Because life is simple. If there's one person that's eligible to date you in your town, it's really simple to do something about that. Either you're going to date them or you're going to be single. There's no other options. You see how simple that is? Now, look at it this way. A good-looking person in high school might have 100+ people to choose from. With human beings, we all have rational limits. Most of us, when we have more than 2 or 3 choices, have a hard time. Many of us force ourselves into these situations just so we only have a limited number of choices. Exercising choice when you have lots of options is hard. Look how poorly I did. When I went to grad school, I had hundreds of girls I could potentially date. My parents had just worked with me for almost a year on getting myself into being a loving person. I had worked harder than I've ever worked on being ready. I was ready to meet the right girl. I already knew how to look, and I was looking harder than I'd ever looked before. And how did I make such a poor choice? How did I decide to get into a relationship when all I saw was disappointment the first time I met her? How did I make such a poor choice when I had girls from all over Tampa sending me messages and that I was emailing and that I could have just went out with and said, hi, I'm Jerry. Let's spend like an hour to get to know each other a little bit and see how we feel about it. How did I make such a poor choice and I literally just ended up in a relationship with the first girl I met? Choices are hard. The only way you can manage choices is you just have to follow your heart. I eventually did follow my heart, and I eventually did break up. It was hard, though, and it would have been so much easier to say no right away than it was to say no after I'd said yes for 3 months. You have to say no as soon as possible. As soon as possible, say no. And I know that's hard. No one wants to be single, and especially when you've got a beautiful person that has a lot of great qualities, that's interested in being with you, it's hard to say no. But if you know there's something that's not going to work with it, if you know that right up front, then say no. Just say no. Why would you want to waste some of the very precious small amount of time you have on Earth? Why would you want to waste any of it? And you could say, well, anything that doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Yes. I wasted 3 months of my time in grad school, and I wasted her time too. I wasted that. And I'll never have that back, but thank God I managed to finally do it right only a couple months after that. The thing is, just say no as early as possible. I had done so good with that. The rest of my life, I had always said no as soon as possible. Like, if I'd went out with a girl on 3 dates and she didn't want to at least, like, make out a little bit, I said no right there. I'm like, I don't want someone that's that physically cold. I mean, I was ruthless with saying no when I was younger. If I didn't like the way you talked to your parents on the phone, or if I didn't like the way you flirted with my roommate or something, I would find any reason to not call a girl back, or to say, look, I don't want to go out with you again. I was direct, and I had very few problems with my past lingering, because as soon as I found a reason to say no, I just pushed them out of my life. And the harder they tried to get me to say yes, the harder I'd make sure that they would turn around and say no eventually. And that wasn't always pretty, but I always was willing to say no until I was so ready that my choice, I made a poor choice. And that's what happens with a lot of good-looking people. I always think back to the great-looking girls in, like, high school and college that I thought at the time just had it all. They didn't want to be single or alone any more than you and I do. They often just made the first bad choice that came along. And the problem was, then what were they going to do about it? Whoever was there at the right moment at the right time. And that's why guys would all try and swoon over them all the time, because they were just hoping to be the right guy at the right time. It's a balancing act. All three of these things, you need to look, be ready, and then make a good choice. It's a balancing act between keeping all three in the right proportion. If you're too ready, if you're looking too hard, or if you're not making good choices, you're going to have a low likelihood of finding the right person to love in your life. And I'm saying this from experience. And the best part is, though, you just have to do it right once. And yes, I know, I'm 29, I know a lot of horrible things could go wrong in my life. But just being with my wife, I will always have and know that love in my life. And she will too. And that is something you don't forget. It's something that's always there once you've done it right. And I have faith that we, you know, our team will be able to not get hit with, you know, some of the horrible things that just come down from the sky sometimes. But the thing is, doing it right is worth taking the risk of whatever could happen afterwards. So, I want you to look, be ready, and make a great choice in order to find the right person to love in your life. And I am confident that when you are able to do all three of those things together, you will find the right person in your life. I appreciate you taking the time to listen today, and I hope this has been helpful.